Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, it's not well known until you kind of look into it, Montana student athletes, they have gone on to the elite level in football, in the NFL, and the CFL since 1926, right? We think football is such a modern game, and it is, but it goes back to all those years. And of course, the folks from Butte are still playing that kind of football. I'm teasing y'all, but today we're going to be talking about some of the toll that it takes mentally, physically as well, to be a professional sports athlete. And as well, there is a symposium to talk about regarding how you as an athlete don't have to live with you if you're suffering with injuries. That's something to talk about here too. And upcoming as well is the Montana Football Hall of Fame. That is this weekend, June 28th. And so we'll be talking to some inductees here today. Croy Bierman is going to be on the program here. And just a lot to share for a Monday on Voices of Montana. Today's show is going to be something a little bit different. And there are some things that are facing us when we talk to, mental health issues, concussions, though, ACL tears, stress fractures, all those. And then overuse injuries. Those are some of the things that we'll talk about when you look at we're celebrating our athletes in the state of Montana. We cheer them on in so many great ways here as well. And this Football Hall of Fame, it is really a great event. It'll take place. We'll get into all of that here today as well. Croy Bierman should be joining us. I understand University of Montana played for Atlanta as well. He's one of the inductees, a whole list of inductees here. Croy out of Hardin, Montana. A Grizzly as well, Big Sky Conference defensive MVP. Jordan Tripp may be joining us as well. He played for Montana for a number of years, a 4-year starter there, and also played in the NFL. He's not being drafted here or actually inducted, not yet as of yet, but he'll be a part of this symposium that is also open to the public June 28th. So that's going to be at 10 a.m. ahead of the 5 p.m. induction banquet. We've got a lot of folks on the line here too as we roll through. We'll talk about mental health, we'll talk about physical health, and we'll talk about the joy of sports and some of those highlights as well, but the toll it does take. Rick Holmes is I guess the chief instigator with us here as well, chair of the Montana Football Hall of Fame organization. Good morning, Rick. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. It's a lovely day up here in Belt, Montana.
Belt, Montana. I know. You gotta love living in Belt. It's still tucked away there, isn't it?
Yeah. We had a little rain now, so it looks pretty good.
Rick, thank you for what you do for the Montana Football Hall of Fame and for lining up this symposium too, and then reconnecting me with some friends that I have and have run into over the years as my part with athletics and University of Montana. Scott Richter being one of them. As well, a trainer there, an assistant professor for a lot of years, went ahead and retired on us, but he's still around, going to be a moderator of this panel. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning, Tom. It's great to talk to you again. I had some great times with you when we traveled with the Grizzly basketball team a few times. That was I really enjoyed being with you.
I'm very fond of that, and what you do as well for the University of Montana, and how you do it, Scott. I've always been a big fan of that, and we're going to get into this here as well. Let's see. Is Jim O'Day on the line? Not yet.
Yep, I'm here.
Jim O'Day, former University of Montana athletic director, O'Day Enterprises now, a journalist, owned the paper up in Cut Bank for a while before many years at the University of Montana. Mr. Jim O'Day, how you doing, Jim?
All is good, Tom. Always good to hear from you.
Good to have you on and good to catch up with you again. All I hear about you now is pretty much that you're on the golf course 365 days a year. Is that the truth now, or...
I wish that was the case. I said, actually, I do play more golf, but I don't get any better. I don't know what the key to that is. I think it's called talent.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, yeah. So in that case, you've learned to keep your wallet at home, I hope, if that's the case.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not very good with that either with the golf, even when you're only playing a quarter a point.
Oh, it's fun. We've had some enjoyable times, too. And then also, everybody's here is kind of on this party line call. Croy Bierman could be joining us a bit later on. Joe McCafferty is on. Oh, Capri. Capri Richardson has joined us now. Capri, good morning. It's Tom. We're live on the air here, Voices of Montana. How are you doing, Capri?
I'm doing so well, Tom. Thank you again for hosting this call. Hey, everybody. It's a pleasure to speak about something so important and so close to all of our hearts, mental health within athletics. So thank you.
I'm so glad you could join us, too. I know you had to maybe arrange your schedule for this. And with what we're talking about today and your expertise in it, Capri played for the University of Montana, volleyball, club volleyball, and then in Europe, professional volleyball, and now is the owner and co-founder of First Contact Athletic Counseling, which I'm really curious about. I got to say hello to one more guest here, too. Joe McCafferty is with us, a committee member and an author. Good, Joe, how are you doing, sir?
Tom, doing great. Great to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, good to have you alongside as well, and I appreciate you all coming on. Let's start then with Capri, okay? And then I'll go to you, Rick, on this. But how do you sum up if we're doing a little symposium here, okay? And you can talk about how important that is. Do athletes, because the name of the symposium is "Speak Up, Let's Talk." You don't have to just live with it. Do athletes, Capri, live with these things that they don't have to live with?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And being a therapist now, in my current role, seeing the athletes that I work with feeling like they didn't know that there were resources out there to speak on mental health or to speak about the things that they, you know, were dealing with in the shadows, honestly opens up their eyes to how much better life can be. Like, it doesn't have to be the way that it is. You don't have to suffer through life, you know, on a constant basis. So being able to provide something like this symposium honestly just brings awareness to not just the athletes themselves, but the community at large, so that we can help each other out and make these resources known, whether that's handing them off to different clinicians or different, you know, programs that do have the capability to handle mental health crises, or if it's being able to just hear someone who was in their shoes, like Croy or Jordan Tripp, and are able to say, hey, I've gone through this too, and you don't have to just live with it, maybe like we maybe had to in the past. So it's a wonderful thing that we're able to provide for the Montana community.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to Scott Richter on this. Again, Scott, as you know, you were director of the athletic training program. You also... you elevated the undergraduate program to a master's program and served as department chair there. Do athletes?
Yeah.
Talk about that. Talk about you're in that. I mean, you're facing them every day while they are participating in these sports. Do they hide things? How and are we getting over that?
Oh, absolutely. They hide things. And in the 40 years I've been involved in sports medicine, it's changed quite a bit. We're getting better and better. We're not where we should be. We don't have the resources at the lower levels, at the college and professional levels. We're really getting better and better all the time. But the high school, junior high levels, usually what we have is we're not putting the athlete first. Now, I mean, if you look at the whole concept of sports medicine, the athlete should be the center of that hub. And sometimes it goes with the parents, the administrators, the coaches, and other people they're actually the ones that are the most important people they feel like. And the athlete, the other thing is the athletes are afraid to go to the coach and say that they're injured because they feel like they're not going to get to play. And also, they might get harassed by their teammates and all that thing. But the athletic trainer is the first one to come to the athlete when they have an injury. And they're the ones that actually see them and are confident for the athlete. And they're the one that can actually be the person that can actually refer them to somebody like Capri that can take them to, if they have the mental illness issues, to take care of those. Now, we are we're only able to do so much, and we have to identify that this person needs a referral to maybe go to counseling or some type of mental health coping situation, that they actually can get some help with those, with whatever they have going. Have you saw last night on the game seven in the finals, where one of their favorite players, one of the best players, went down,
yep.
And you saw him go down and start hitting the floor, and the first one on the floor was the athletic trainer taking care of that athlete, and they have to deal with that and acutely when they have the injury, and then throughout the whole injury process. Now, it's great to have people like Capri and some other areas, other people that can help out with individuals like that that are going to go through a lot of mental anguish.
I heard the phone, and that's Scott Richter again, a former trainer, University of Montana, a former assistant professor as well, and the moderator for this symposium about, it just says, speak up, let's talk. I believe Croy Bierman might be with us here. Croy, are you there?
I am here. How is everyone?
Hey. Croy, thank you for joining us. And
wow.
Yeah. It's a party line. So, so far everybody seems to be doing good. And thank you for joining us. I appreciate that. I watched your career from the sidelines reporting, chatted with you along the way as well. And was, always impressed at your focus. As we talk about the mental focus, the mental aspect of it, and maybe some athletes kind of hiding things for a lot of reasons, talk about your experience there, Croy. Were you injured ever, and whatever level it was you were playing, where you just had a rough time dealing with it?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me a part of this, and it's an honor to be here with everyone. Touching on that, I thankfully had a pretty injury-free career in terms of all of my athletics. I was injured early on in high school and ended up tearing kind of my side oblique and missed a majority of my freshman year. And I'll tell you, it was rough, as a young athlete and just kind of getting into my career and getting going with things and experiencing that. I felt a lot of devastation. I felt, just a lot of uncertainty, around all of that. Just didn't know, if that was going to affect my ability to further my career. I knew that I wanted to play at a collegiate level and really wanted to give everything I could towards that. And a setback like that was quite frustrating. Thankfully, I had a really good support system with my family, my parents specifically. They were there to help me through that, support me, get me to the places that I needed to go to rehab that, and really just kind of keep me in a place where I was encouraged, and moving forward. And then my next largest injury wasn't until I was in the NFL playing for the Falcons, and when I tore my Achilles, and that was a season-ending injury. It was the second game into the season, and so I pretty much knew kind of right when it had happened that it was that's what it was, and I was going to have a long road in front of me to get that rehabbed and recover and in a place where you're under so much scrutiny and there's so much competition to perform, and you know that people are fighting for spots behind you, and to have a setback like that, it really does take a lot of your attention, and you really have to focus in on keeping your mind in a place where you can only control what you can control, and that's the attention and effort that you put into your rehab, and you know that if you have a sort of faith that you hold firm to that, and that there are other forces at play that are out of your control, and you got to trust the process and just keep that positive mindset as much as you can, because that's not only just going to help you get to where you want to go in terms of your rehab, but it's also just going to just help you show up in life outside of sports. Sports can be a major, major part of a person's life, and it can have, if you allow it, an impact on life outside of sports. And if that is the case, you're going to see things get more and more difficult if you can't kind of shift your mindset back to remaining positive, kind of keeping that stress level down, keeping things in perspective, setting micro goals to reach major goals, and keeping yourself on track. So that's kind of how I tackled both of those injuries when I faced them. And then a better approach that I found was just on a day-to-day basis, doing what I needed to do to try to prevent those physical injuries, and then also prevent those mental and emotional injuries that can take place in sports. Sometimes things happen. A coach may make a decision. Administration may make a decision that you don't understand, you don't agree with, but ultimately that's out of your control. And the only thing that can remain in your control is the effort and the grit that you put forward each and every day to not only work to where you want to go, but to keep your body right and your mind right and everything in place, so that you don't have, or you minimize the risk of having a physical injury that can be hard to deal with mentally.
Well, that's good advice. That's good experienced advice. Some of the things that Croy Bierman, former University of Montana, all Big Sky Conference Defensive Player of the Year, but also with the Atlanta Falcons, we'll share as part of this symposium. We'll talk more as we got a break upcoming here. Croy, it's good to hear from you. Upcoming this weekend, it is the induction for the Montana Football Hall of Fame. Inductees include Tom McMahon from Helena, played at Carroll, Ray Biggs, a big one at MSU, Joey Thomas, also a Bobcat. I'll get the names here. Pat Ogren played at Wyoming, come out of Butte. Terry Falcon, he is a Grizz, come out of Culbertson, Montana. Lex Hilliard as well, from University of Montana, Kalispell. And then some legacy awards for Bob Schmitz and Bill Sprinkle. Tom Schultz back alongside. We are speaking with Croy Bierman, one of the inductees as well. University of Montana, Atlanta Falcon, great as well. Capri Richardson is with us. She is from the University of Montana, but currently a mental health clinician partnering with Baylor University as well. As part of the symposium is a part of this Hall of Fame induction. We have Rick Holmes there, who chairs the Montana Football Hall of Fame. Joe McClafferty is with us from, he's on that committee, an MSU guy, and also Jim O'Day. So I think I got them all there, and thank you guys again for being here. Jim O'Day, I want to go to you. As a former University of Montana athletic director, I mean, you've done a lot of things there, too. You erased $1 million deficit ahead of schedule, and there's a lot of things I think that are things to be considered in your shoes. What's the consideration from the administration standpoint, and maybe how it's changed over the years when it comes to sport injuries, not just the physical, but also the mental?
Well, I think, you always worry, when mom and dad send their young son or daughter to your university to play athletics, you're kind of the parent there. And every time one goes down, you're really nervous about, what's going to happen. I know a lot of my former athletes that I have, I think they probably get tired of me whenever I see them and I say, hey, how's your body holding up? Because, once they're gone, everyone kind of forgets about that. And I watch too many of them walking with a limp or back injuries or, just continual arthritis issues and things like that we often forget about. So you want to make sure that when they are under your supervision, that you can get them the best possible treatments ever. And And, you know, what all these guys are doing, you know, it means so much to me when I see the Croys and the Capris and some of those that were kids that I had. I hate to say kids, but now they're in their 20s and 30s. I hate to say it. Some even in 40s and 50s. But they're still the kids to me. But to watch what they're doing to really provide such great information out there, you know, one of the things that really is important to me, and I think what Rick has really pushed along with this journey, is that I still get calls from a lot of parents who say, you know what, my son or my daughter, I worry a little bit about, you know, some of the things that they're going through, and how do you detect this and how do you detect that? And I couldn't get any answers. And I felt, you know, it's still our responsibility to at least provide, and I know they get tired of hearing me talk about tools, but the tools to help them, you know, get through certain things. You know, there's a lot of depression out there. There's a lot of, you know, mental health issues. We like to call them now, you know, brain health issues that are out there. And, you know, now if somebody would call me, I know we have the resources. I know we have the right people to talk to. I know, you know, that in its own way provides such a relief to so many people. So, you know, again, that is a big part of it. You know, as an athletic director, you're, you know, I always said that, you know, a lot of your time as an athletic director was just, you know, handling one issue after another. But that was always a big one to worry about. And thank God, you know, at the University of Montana, and I know at Montana State as well, we have very good people who are looking out for the best interests of those student athletes.
Yeah, and I can attest to that. I got a couple of minutes here. Capri Richardson, a professional volleyball player and now a mental health clinician at Baylor University, and also founder and owner of First Contact Athletic Counseling. It took me almost all that time to get that out there. But I want to ask you, when Jim talks about resources, what's new out there for resources to help athletes both with the physical and mental aspects?
Honestly, there are so many. And now that, you know, everyone is trying to break the stigma of mental health, whether you're an athlete or not, I think that just opens up the doors to honestly being able to tailor your experience when it comes to your own healing. So for the athletic population that I predominantly work with, I would say there is a lot to somatic techniques. So that's when we're talking about how do we connect the mind and the body, because you would think athletes must be so connected with their bodies. They're able to do all these amazing things. They're superheroes. But a lot of us dissociate while we're playing, which is not great, but it happens. It's a thing. So being able to really help people get back into their bodies and understand what their body is saying back to them actually strengthens their mind. So if we think about trying to create a holistic picture, that's one of my go-tos. I would say also being able to emotionally regulate. I'm sure the other athletes on the call would be able to attest, like, when there's a really big game and you're amped up, you're more likely to make more mistakes. You're more likely to get injured. And, you know, just do things that aren't going to be very helpful for your long-term success. So being able to be curious about what are emotions, and they're not bad, they're not a sign of weakness, because we are all used to probably hearing the, you need to toughen up, you need to get over it, grind it out.
It's really the intersection of good health and sports as well. There is a physical toll, there is a mental toll, but there's also a lot of benefits. I mean, it's rewarding to be able to perform at a high level, but it's also good for your body to be in shape and to learn these healthy aspects. Upcoming here, and welcome back to Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. The Montana Football Hall of Fame induction banquet takes place in Billings this weekend. It's Saturday, June 28th, 5 p.m., the Hall of Fame banquet, and it's at Prior Creek Golf Club. Contact them for more information, all right? Just go to the Montana Football Hall of Fame. In fact, I'm going to ask Rick Holmes, who's with us here as chair, to go into that here in just a little bit. But we're also talking about, so this is at 5 o'clock. There's a 10 a.m. forum that you're invited to. The public, it's open to the public here. MT Football HOF. So mtfootballhof.com for more information. But Capri Richardson is going to be there. Featured highly as a current mental health clinician at Baylor University, well as the owner and founder of First Contact Athletic Counseling. Former UM Grizz Croy Bierman is with us with the Atlanta Falcons previously. And also, I mean, he was a Buck Buchanan Award winner for Montana. Cheered him on from the sidelines a lot. Scott Richter, good friend as well, who's moderating this panel. Jim O'Day, athletic director, formerly at the University of Montana, 2005 to 2012. And again, a good friend. And then Joe McCafferty is with us here, too. And Joe, thank you for coming alongside. I know we haven't got to you yet, but I got a few questions for you here. I want to go back and pick up with Capri here about where we left off. Capri, I mean, the new focus. I mean, some new resources out there. You kind of laid them out a little bit. Talk about how do they get to the next level? What is out there that you think is working, and what's next level when it comes to, you know, good mental and physical health surrounding sports?
Right. Honestly, the new focus is kind of going towards that holistic person, athlete second, human first. So if we're able to kind of instill those new narratives of you are a human being with emotions and experiences and heartache and joy, if we're able to address those concerns first, being an athlete is going to feel fun again. And that's, you know, we hear a lot about youth sports losing that fun aspect. And we're seeing youth athletes getting burnt out by, like, age 13. So if we're not able to address the whole person and their whole experience, then you can almost forget about playing sports. Because how can you do that when you're depressed or going through other mental health issues? So that's kind of the journey that we're going towards now as a community. And I know for myself, you know, seeing teammates that have also had to go through mental health issues, myself losing people in my life, this resource is something that now is being more widespread. So whether that's in my own private practice or at places like Baylor Athletics, just seeing athletes live more happy, authentic lives is a win.
Yeah. It is a win, right? Joe McClafferty again, former athletic director, Montana Tech, and Joe, thank you for coming alongside. I want to get your thoughts and your opinions, and I have seen this book that you wrote, Bison and the Firefly. I know it's over my reading level, so to speak. It's designed for younger folks, but what are your thoughts? Please offer something for us here.
You bet. Thanks, Tom. I'll just kind of. Kind of circle into what I've heard this morning. So one of the things and the reasons that book was written is, so my father played for Butte Central back in 1945 when they beat Glendive for the state championship, right? And he was a fullback on that team, Jim Sweeney and the sort. And, you know, in talking to my relatives, my dad was concussed almost every game and probably unconscious in most of them. And I watched his life go on, and I know he had CTE, and I know there was a level of depression that sunk in on him. And so when I was AD, we brought a gentleman in named Chris Nowitzki, and some of you might know Chris with the Brain Institute, a neuroscientist, a football player, wrestler, and he talked to our student athletes and really kind of scared them and really kind of gave them the thoughts as to what's going on. And one of the things is we were writing the book, Bison and the Firefly, that I came to realize is skills and grit need to start early at the same time. And I grew up in Butte, and so grit was just kind of put into your mindset. You know, mm-hmm. You're tougher, you can handle that. But not having the skills to understanding that you need to do this as a team, you know, that there you need to understand, as Capri was stating there, you need to understand and communicate what's going on. And as Croy was saying, have that grit. But if you're not able to do that, then it can really pose problems later, because you might just be focusing on the grid and not understanding that there's other people there to help you. The day we brought in Chris, other people realized someone was there to help, and we had kids actually vacate from the football team at that point in time because they'd realized they'd been cussed many times before, And, you know, it was very big people to be able to stand up and say that they didn't want to do that anymore and give up something that they truly liked. And they dealt with some challenges after that themselves mentally. But in the book, The Bison and the Firefly, it is about grit. It is about belonging. It's about purpose. And I think those are all the skills that if we teach these kids when they're younger, as they learn to compete when they're a little bit older, they're going to be able to get through it better.
Joel McLafferty again. Tell us where people are going to find this, because you and I chatted a little while ago about this book, and I saw it, and it is a good book. It's illustrated nicely. Why don't you talk about where that's going to be deployed?
So the book is free. Basically, what we want to do is get that into kids' hands, and we will have it at the symposium this weekend. So there we'll be distributing that book throughout forever and ever. We're going to get as many kids' hands as possible. We're working with Rob Watson, with the superintendents in the state of Montana, and they're looking to have that book into schools this coming fall as well.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And we'll talk more earlier or later this week as we're featuring Chaudière Children's Hospital here on Thursday. I'm going to go back to Scott Richter and bounce this back to Scott, former athletic trainer, actually director of the athletic training program and assistant professor at the University of Montana. 40 years in sports medicine, Scott. And I just want to have you reflect. The journey, we talk an awful lot about concussion. But that only, I think, opened the door to other aspects of mental health. What's your assessment of the 40 years and where we're at?
Well, when I first started, we'd take people on the sidelines and ask them if they're doing okay. And then if they said they're okay, we'd put them right in the game. Of course, a little more detailed than that. But today, when somebody gets injured, if they have the personnel there, and that's the problem maybe at the lower levels in Montana. We don't have athletic trainers at every athletic event. When somebody gets concussed, they're taken out of the game, and they go through a concussion protocol. And that takes at least 7 days to go through. Well, I actually work right now part-time for a clinic here in Missoula, and I actually cover events. And when somebody gets concussed, I'll talk to the coach and give them that protocol, but sometimes they don't follow through with that protocol. So I don't know if they go back and start playing on Saturday or not. So that's one of the weaknesses, I guess, in Montana. We don't have an athletic trainer at every event, and that'd be nice to have. And that was one of our goals, to do that, and some states do that. The other thing about concussions and injury itself, with concussion, There's a physiological part of it. Your brain gets injured. Now, if you had an ACL injury, we can actually treat that. We have ways to do that, therapy and treatment. The brain injury, there's no way. You can't put ultrasound or anything on that. It has to heal. That brain has to heal. We have no way to know how long that's going to be with each individual. We don't know the long-term effects of that either. We're still finding more and more about that, the long-term effects like CTE. And there's also the psychological effect of having a concussion, where the athlete is out of commission or not playing for several days or maybe a month, and that really takes its toll. And with an athlete that has an injury, I've been around it, where they get isolated, where the coach and the other players basically don't pay attention to them anymore. They're kind of an outcast. Mm. I've been in that situation myself as an athlete. And if we can keep them in the game physically and mentally, like there's mind, body, spirit, and we talk about the mind a lot. We don't talk about that enough. If we pay attention to the mind a little bit more and get that, like, for example, if the coach gets them involved in all the activities and keeps them, because sometimes the athlete will get depressed at the high school or any level because they're not part of the team anymore. And that's a big part of their socialization. And then you throw in all the social media stuff that people see, and it's really a complicated situation. Our athletic training curriculum right now went from mentioning mental aspects, mental illness, mental health. We have a whole class on it in our curriculum in athletic training now. And so when athletic trainers see somebody that maybe is struggling in the mental health issues and having trouble coping, we know when to refer to somebody like Capri or somebody else that can take over for us. Now, hopefully we'll catch that because a lot of athletes will still hide it. And this is why we're having this conference today and this weekend is to speak up. It's actually a courage. It's courageous to speak up. You know, it's better to do that than keep it inside.
It's a great point, Scott. I appreciate that. I mean, because we do. We just tend to keep these things to ourselves, like for a lot of reasons that were expressed here. All right, one more time on this. Speak up. Let's talk symposium. That's at 10 a.m. as part of the Montana Football Hall of Fame this Saturday, June 28th. MTFootballHOF.com for more information. And this is what we're talking about here today, the mental health aspect, the physical health aspect of it, and the need to speak out. Capri Richardson is with us. A lot of guests here. I'm going to run out of time. I'll get to Croy Bierman here with some thoughts as he's one of those to be inducted in this Hall of Fame, and that takes place at 5 o'clock, and that's open. Come out. There's a golf event on the 27th, and also you can get photos and autographs. Rick Holmes, talk more about this Hall of Fame, and then save a minute or so for Croy to talk about the honor.
Defer all of it to Croy. years ago, my wife and I were talking about football and how much it meant to me to get to college, because otherwise I wasn't going to go, but a football scholarship got me there. And then we started talking about coaches who had 200 wins or more. Matter of fact, Jim Stanton just went to number 3 on the state list at 262 wins. Jack Johnson from CMR, still the leader at 340. But when we were talking about this and investigated, we found about 270 student-athletes that had gone to the NFL or CFL since 1926. One of the first ones was Ralph Scott from Hardin. Tracy Scott works at the city there in Billings. She's got a football signed by George Halas, Red Grange, and that 1926 team that were world champions. But here, a guy from Hardin, Montana, had come back from World War One with trench foot and mustard gas poisoning and all that stuff, plays in the NFL when it got started. So Montana's got a rich history there. But 3 years ago, Robert Doerr and Dane Fletcher were inducted. Robert rides at the Doerr from Browning, and he worked with the Washington Redskins for 7 years. I think he had like 5,000 employees there. Dane Fletcher, of course, played at Montana State and then for the New England Patriots. And they both talked about issues that they faced that were mental health issues. And so much of a student-athlete these days is mental health.
Yeah.
Scott is right about concussions. And that's a smaller portion. The majority of the mental health continuum that we're looking about is anxiety, depression, all those things. And then, and so when they talked about their problems that they faced, obviously we got inundated with calls and emails to start something about student athlete mental health challenges. And this was born. And if you'd gauge yourself from, you know, you are what you attract, the fact that Shodair has been a part of this, Joe McClafferty helped with that, but Newport Health is going to be there. They've got material that says the sustainable solution to the youth mental health crisis.
Rick,
Neurological Institute.
Let me hop in here,
he's going to be there,
and we'll hear more from you with Ken Adelblue on our sports across our affiliates as well. Croy Bierman, again, I've enjoyed watching you as an athlete as well and hearing your comments. Maybe talk about this honor and what you hope to impart to the kids and the families here.
Sure. I mean, it's a tremendous honor to be a part of this, but it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the coaching and the administration in Montana, Rick setting this all up and doing what he's done to honor the people that have pressed on and made it outside of Montana into professional sports. So, you know, it all the credit goes to them. I would not have been where I made it to without those people and the guidance and the coaching and just the mentorship and the people that cared physically, mentally, for me as I was growing up.
Thank you for that. Congratulations to you as well. Sorry we are out of time. I look forward to seeing you guys, though, on Saturday. Take care. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.